Hare ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantha Raja Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Raj Maharaj ki, Go Prem Anande.
Maybe just move in a bit closer because the devotees come close. Just come and sit up here. So the devotees come, they can. Okay. So what did we discuss in the previous class? Chapter 28. What is chapter 28 called? Very good. Okay, so any details? What we discussed last time? So we heard how Nanda Maharaj went to the river Jamuna to bathe, and we heard how he was stolen by Varunadev, not actually by Varunadev, but by his servants, and he was taken to the abode of Varuna, Varuna Loka. The previous four chapters, which passed on, was discussed.
Krishna's Govardhan Lila.
So we heard how Indra offended Krishna. And now, apparently, Varuna is committing an offense to Krishna. So we're seeing that the demigods cannot properly understand Krishna's position. Only the Brijbasis can properly understand Krishna's position. And that's the theme of the section that we're discussing tonight. That only the bridge passes actually understand Krishna's actual position, which is what this entire section, Vrindavan Leela, Braj Leela, this entire section of the 10th canto is teaching us, that only the bridge passes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance it was yesterday, is teaching us that only the bridge passes properly understand Krishna's intimate personality. In other words, his pastimes in Vrindavan. The other personalities outside of Vrindavan cannot fully understand Krishna's position. So tonight we'll continue, we'll finish the chapter, verses 10 to 17, and tomorrow night we'll begin the discussion of Rasa Leela, or Krishna's most confidential pastime. So, need to send out an email, tell everyone to come. Maybe tonight because it's public holiday, but if they're going to come, once in 15 years, tomorrow. Maybe we'll send an email tomorrow. Encourage everyone. Okay. Text number 10. Nanda Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all of this to his fellow cowherd men. So Nanda Maharaj has been taken by Krishna back to Vrindavan. Now Nanda Maharaj is sitting with his friends, the elder cowherd men, and he's discussing and describing what took place, the pastime, how he was taken by the servants of Varuna to the abode of Varuna. So he's describing that he saw the opulence of Varuna, and the mood that, or the discussion which will take place in this section, is that even though Nanda Maharaj was impressed by the opulence of Varuna's kingdom, still, what was more important is that Vrindavan is even more opulent than the heavenly planets, than Vaikuntha, than any other place. So this is the most opulent place, Vrindavan. But because of the mood of Madhurya covering the Aishwarya, because in Krishna's personality there is both. There is Aishwarya and Madhurya. But in his other pastimes, the Madhurya is covered by the Aishwarya. So if you go to, when we study the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, it describes that Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, and Vrindavan is most perfect. So the difference is that in Dwarka, as an example, Krishna's sweetness is there, but it is overshadowed by his Aishwarya, or by his opulence. There's so much opulence in Dwarka. And Vaikuntha is even more like that. No, because the center of the, like when you look at the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has mercifully given a picture on the first canto, so we can understand the creation. So we understand when we study that, that the Goloka planet is a huge lotus planet. And that planet is bigger than the rest of Vaikuntha put together. All of the other planets of Vaikuntha together is not as big, as significant and as large as Goloka. The center of Goloka is Vrindavan. And then, like the middle portion as you go towards the edge of the lotus flower, the lotus planet, then Mathura is there. And on the edge is Dwarka. So it's all on that one planet. All these pastimes appear simultaneously in the spiritual world. And Navadvipa or Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya's abode, is simultaneously situated in the center of the Goloka planet. So Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes, Krishna is performing his pastimes, but somehow they're not cognizant or aware of each other. Maybe sometimes described like chambers, somehow they're there, or somehow Krishna makes an arrangement by Yoga Maya. It's all situated in the center. And then, when you leave Goloka, then you come to Ayodhya. Ayodhya is not on the Goloka planet, but it's the first part of Vaikuntha, where Ramachandra performs his pastimes. And then beyond Ayodhya is Vaikuntha, which means all of the other planets, where Nisringadev, Korma, Matsya, all the different avatars, they perform their lila. Nisringadev in Goloka, or in Vaikuntha, he does not have the half-man, half-lion form. He has a Vishnu form, Narayan form. And all the incarnations are there. And then you go through all the planets, and then you get to the material world, which is the, you see on the first canto, the Mahatattva, the material universes. And the furthest edge of Vaikuntha is Sadashiva Loka. So Lord Shiva, in his original form, has his planet there, and then the material world begins. Material world is just a very small portion. It's like a cloud in the sky in the spiritual world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, says that the material creation is one quarter of God's creation, but actually the spiritual world is unlimited, whereas the material world does have a limitation. But he just gives us an idea that it's much smaller than the spiritual world. So, in that Goloka planet, especially in Vaikuntha, Aishwarya is the most prominent mood. Aishwarya means awe and reverence. So in Goloka, in Vrindavan itself, there are five rasas that you can experience with Krishna, but only the higher three rasas are overwhelmingly present. In other words, there's Sakya. You see Krishna in Vrindavan. His friends see him as being equal. They don't see him as being superior. It's actual equality, actual friendship with God, with Krishna. And then there is pure Vatsalya Ras. In Vaikuntha, you don't find Vatsalya Ras. In Vaikuntha, there's no parent of Narayan. So it's not there. In Vrindavan, you find it. You find it in Dwarka, in Mathura, but in Vrindavan, it is perfect Vatsalya Ras. Just Krishna is our son, without any conception of godhood. And then Madhurya Ras, or Sringara Ras, which means the conjugal mood, which tomorrow night we'll begin to discuss in detail. So that is the mood of pure conjugal love towards Krishna, which is found in Vrindavan, in the with the gopis of Vrindavan, towards Krishna in Parakya Bhav. So there's conjugal mood towards Krishna. Krishna is our lover, but it is Parakya, which means there's no marriage. Whereas when you go to Mathura to Dwarka, it is Swakya, which means Krishna is married to 16,108 wives. So it is Swakya, there's ownership. In Vrindavan, in the Goloka Vrindavan, there is no Swakya, it is Parakya, which is said to be a higher, a more pleasant or a form of conjugal ras or madhurya ras, which gives greater pleasure to Krishna. So in Vrindavan, he only experiences Parakya Bhava. So it is pure. They see Krishna as being a pure lover. They see him without any awe and reverence. He is just our conjugal lover. So that is the mood. You guys, don't do this to me. Right? Tomorrow night we start Rasa Leela. Don't even come. It's after 8 o'clock, don't come. Okay, it's not good. So we see in the mood in Vrindavan itself, we see the mood of pure conjugal ras, which means they just see Krishna as their lover without any conception that he is God, right? He is just our lover. So that is the mood in Vrindavan. So the Aishwarya, which the further away you get from Vrindavan, the more Aishwarya becomes prominent. So when you get to Vaikuntha, there is pure Aishwarya. In Dwarka, Aishwarya is stronger than Madhurya. But in Vrindavan, it is said, and this is what's described in this pastime, the Aishwarya is actually greater in Vrindavan than it is in Dwarka and Vaikuntha. In other words, there's more opulence even than Vaikuntha and Dwarka, but still there is so much madhurya, it is so sweet, and the pastimes are so intimate, and awe and reverence is so much less, that they do not feel Aishwarya. They do not become overwhelmed by it, or it is not significant to them. It is not the main thing. The mood is not there. In Vaikuntha, the mood of Dasya Ras is prominent. But in Vrindavan, there is no pure Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras is there, but it's not pure. They don't feel that he is our Lord and Master. In Dwarka, the queens of Krishna, even though they're connected to Krishna in conjugal Ras, which means Swakya. Swakya means married. They feel Krishna belongs to us, right? He's our husband. But still, their conjugal mood towards Krishna is weakened or mixed with Dasya Ras. So even though it's conjugal, there's Madhurya Ras, but it's weakened because they think he is the Lord, he is the King, he is the Lord of Dwarka, he's the Lord of creation even. We see in Dwarka, you see later on in the 10th canto that Brahma comes to visit Krishna. Krishna conquers the demigods, all these things take place. Whereas in Vrindavan, even though he does the same things, he conquers Brahma, he conquers Indra, he does all these things, but it never destroys the mood of, that's the power of the prema within Vrindavan. So here, we're seeing that Nanda Maharaj is coming back, and now he's with his friends, and they said, what happened? You went into the water, you didn't come out. They called out to Krishna, Krishna dove in, swam and then swam back, brought Nanda Maharaj back, and now they're sitting down and they're taking prasadam, and they said, so what happened? And Nanda Maharaj said, well, I went to Varuna's abode and it's more opulent than Vrindavan. Actually, Vrindavan's more opulent than, but he doesn't see it like that because the mood is different, but actually it's more opulent. But he sees it like the other way. So that's the mood in Vrindavan. And that's the one of the essential features of the 10th canto and one of the essential features of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And we have to understand these things. This is not... the study of the 10th canto is not theoretical. It is meant for realization. It's not about passing exams. You'll get questions and you've got to write out what was it. It's not about that. It's about realizing this. We have to realize Krishna's position. So it's exalted, right? It's the most exalted topic. It's the most exalted relationship the jiva can have with God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving that to us in Kali Yuga, and it is expected that we develop these sentiments towards Krishna in Vrindavan. But that requires great surrender. Because you'll see, and we'll see actually when we study the pastimes beginning tomorrow night, which of the devotees has the greatest love for Krishna? The gopis. And what is the nature of their love? It's the most surrendered out of all. They surrender more than anything else. And we'll hear this beginning from tomorrow night. I mean, they just hear the flute and they run out, so overwhelmed with love and attraction to Krishna. So it is the highest level of surrender towards Krishna. The way the gopis serve Krishna is the way we're meant to serve Krishna. We just give up everything just for Krishna. So we have to learn this mood. Now, if you learn this mood, then you'll understand the gopis' love. Otherwise, the gopis' love is theoretical. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us, if you try to understand the gopis' love prematurely, you'll get the opposite effect. Your lust will increase. But if you hear the gopis' love for Krishna in the right mood, desiring to develop the same selfless mood of surrender, then it will purify your heart. And actually, it's the only thing that can purify our heart. Mother Jagatari told us this at Govardhan in one of the retreats years ago. Said the only thing, at least in our tradition, or as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only thing that can completely remove all the lust in the heart is hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's the only thing that has the potency to completely remove everything. But to hear their pastimes properly, you have to develop the right consciousness. Which takes, you have to become very, very sincere and serious in your Krishna consciousness. So it's a test. So if you're ready, then Krishna will purify your heart. If you're not ready, then you'll fall asleep. Or you'll just be thinking, oh, I've got to pass the exam or something like that. That's not what all this. The exams are just something Prabhupada gave us to make us more serious. Because if we don't have exams, you guys don't read the books. So Prabhupada gives exams just for that reason. But the actual point is their heart is meant to become purified. So, any points?
The Guru, you said Vrindavan is the center of that lotus flower. So up to where the Gorakh is? The Gorakh, you said that Vrindavan is in the center of Gorakh.
Sometimes, but he doesn't live there.
But Lord Ramchandra is there in the periphery.
Lord Ram lives in Ayodhya.
So Ayodhya is there.
In the topmost part of Vaikuntha.
Okay, but it's not related to that lotus flower.
Anything else?
I heard that in the lotus is like this, that you can walk through it. It moves around. The petals, so you don't have to go very far. This can become muscles. I don't know where it's written, somewhere I hear it.
I think it's described in the Brahma Samhita commentary. Anything else?
What was the mode in Holoka Navadvip? You said it's the same, because here we understand when Satyamapu descends, he wanted to release the mode of separation. But in Holoka, everything is there.
What's the point?
Is it the same mode there also?
Mayapur's mood is different. Mayapur is, everyone is trying to, in one sense it's the same, because everyone's trying to relish the mood of Vrindavan. But in an external situation. So yeah, it's one and it's different. Mayapur's mood is more Aldarya. So well, in Goloka, it's Krishna, God himself, takes the form of a devotee to relish what only Srimati Radharani can relish. So it's the same, but it's also this difference, which is there. You know all these things. You've heard them all before.
So the
Vayapur
is in Goloka, not in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is there, and in Goloka, nothing.
Anything else?
What about devotees in Mayapur, in the spiritual world, do they go from, suppose, to Vaikuntha from Goloka? Does that happen? If someone from Vaikuntha becomes so pure that they can go to Goloka like that? Do they have to come back to human form and again?
No, they don't have to come back to human form, but it does. Prabhupada said generally it doesn't happen. It can happen. Someone in Vaikuntha could become attracted to Vrindavan, but generally it doesn't happen. Okay. Hearing about Krishna's pastimes with Varuna, the cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the supreme lord, and their minds, or king, were filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? Would have abundant thoughts.
The Howard men were filled with excitement upon hearing how Krishna had gone to the abode of Varuna to rescue his father. Suddenly realizing that they were in fact dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they joyfully conjectured among themselves about their auspicious destination after finishing their present life.
So, any points there? So, at this point in time, the cowherd men, they're covered by Madhurya. So they don't take notice of Krishna's opulence. But now, the opulence is becoming in the forefront of their consciousness. So they're thinking that this is the Supreme Lord, this is God, we're living with God. So then when you realize you're with God, then naturally you might think, what's it like in the spiritual world? Where am I going to go when I die? If I'm with God, He will take me to the spiritual world. So now they're thinking, what's it like in the spiritual world? We're with Krishna. When we die, Krishna's going to take us to the spiritual world. So what's it like there? So this desire is coming in their consciousness. So they want to see Vaikuntha. They want to see the kingdom of God. They want to see the Brahma Jyoti. So these desires are coming. So Krishna is facilitating this, or allowing it. Yogamaya is facilitating or allowing it, because the Bhagavatam is showing us the superiority of Goloka to Vaikuntha and Brahman. Hands up if you want to go to Brahma Jyoti. Hands up if you want to go to Vaikuntha. One. Okay, hands up if you want to go to Goloka.
Goloka.
Good. Okay. Huh? What did you say? Oh, yeah, he said, put your hand up. Put your hand up. You should want to go to Goloka. Do as your mother tells you. Go to Goloka. What is all this Vaikuntha? So, this is the... So, it depends on our mood. What you want, Krishna will facilitate that. The problem at the moment, we don't want anything. Hands up if you have a strong desire to go to Goloka Vrindavan. One and a half. One and three quarters. People put their hand, but we don't have a strong desire to go. If you don't have a strong desire to go, you don't go. So what's the use of studying all this if you're not cultivating a strong desire to go? To transfer yourself and your consciousness from this world to Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. This should be becoming the main goal of our consciousness, the main goal of our, or the main desire cultivated in our heart. No matter what we're doing during the day, whether we're at work or we're at home or we're doing sadhana, the main desire which resides in our consciousness and our heart is that we should want to go to Goloka Vrindavan and serve Krishna and his eternal pastimes, become Krishna's eternal servant. So that's why we're studying. And if that desire is not coming, then we're not following the process properly. The process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us is to develop this desire to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Sometimes life is so busy we don't even have time to practically scratch ourselves. What to speak of, you know, cultivate a desire like this. That's why we have to take time and make time, and somehow it's very difficult in this day and age to actually cultivate this desire to go back to Krishna. So that should be that should be the goal of our study, to cultivate that desire to go back and live with Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, you have to become very intense to make that happen, because Kali Yuga is intense itself, and it's very distracting. Just like I drove here to come to give class tonight, it took me 2.5 hours to get from the farm to here. Normally it takes 1.5 hours. I didn't, because I was going to come, you know, take bath, put on my dirty, put on tilak. But there was so much traffic, because this is Kali Yuga, and everyone went to the coast for the long weekend to enjoy. So there was a traffic jam from Geelong to Melbourne. You know, sometimes their car was only going 20 kilometres an hour. So this is Kali Yuga. If you can even just be Krishna conscious in this age, when there's so much distraction and so much material entanglement, then you have to become very intense in order to make it back to Krishna. So this is the point of this study. So Nanda Maharaj, he wants to know about Vaikuntha. They want to know, now they're thinking, what is it like in the spiritual world? This is God who we're living with. What's it like in the spiritual world? So Krishna is about to reciprocate that desire. He's going to show them the Brahma Jyoti, and he's going to show them the Vaikuntha planets. But why does he do that? Why does he show them Brahman and Vaikuntha? So that they understand Goloka is better. Because they actually see it. They see Brahman and they see Vaikuntha. But what is their conclusion? Goloka is the best. Where do you think is the best?
Goloka.
Goloka is the best. Vrindavan is the best. You have to become attached to Vrindavan. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, because Prabhupada himself, he said he was a Brijbasi. He said that on a number of occasions, in different ways. He explained he was a Brijbasi. Prabhupada came straight out of Vrindavan itself to come to this world. So Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, we should think of Vrindavan as our home. So your thoughts should always be in Vrindavan. And we should become attached to Vrindavan more than we're attached to our current place of resonance. At this point in time, we're attached to the material world. Or we should be more attached to Vrindavan than the material world. The body should feel like that. The material world is just the place we happen to be, but we should, in our heart, we should become attached to Vrindavan. And our consciousness should contemplate Vrindavan. And actually, when describing Raganuga Bhakti, when you study the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasa Vrinda Sindhu, in the Eastern Division, the first part, then chapters 15 and 16, what are they about?
Devotion.
Yeah, what type? No, Bhava is 17, 18. 17 and 18 are Bhava. But what is 15 and 16 is Raganuga Bhakti. So when describing Raganuga Bhakti, Rupa Goswami only gives three verses that describe what Raganuga Bhakti is. Because Raganuga Bhakti takes you to Goloka, right? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti takes you to Vaikuntha. So in Goloka Vrindavan, if you want to get there, you have to practice Raganuga Bhakti. And Prabhupada explains that one of the verses explained by Rupa Goswami, then Prabhupada elaborates, described that you have to contemplate life in Vrindavan. That's Raganuga Bhakti. So you're chanting your rounds, but while chanting the Maha Mantra, you're contemplating life in Vrindavan. What is Krishna doing right now? So how do devotees meditate on what Krishna is doing now? It is called Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana. So what does Ashtakaliya mean?
Eightfold.
Yeah. Krishna's pastimes are divided into eight times of the day. So what are the eight times of the day? What is the first division? Yeah, from what time? 6 o'clock till 8:24. Right? That's the first division, right? Or 8:36. Right? And then the second division. Right? So what's Krishna doing in the first division? He wakes up then. Yeah, it takes a quick bath, and then he goes to milk cows. Then he comes back, takes the proper bath, and has breakfast. Right. So that's basically, it's a lot more detail, but that's basically the first segment. And what is the second segment? 8:24 till 10:36. Right. Takes the cows out. That's basically the next division. Then 10:48 actually, from 10:48 till 3:36, that's the third segment. Then what's Krishna doing at that time? He's with the gopis at Radhakund. Right. So that's large part of the day. So then Krishna is there. So there's eight divisions of the day. So why do the acharyas describe these eight divisions? Ashtakaliya Lila, Smarana. Because you might be sitting at work, right? Mm. And then you look at your clock, right? And the clock says 10:48. So then, what do you think? Yeah, I think Krishna just arrived at Radhakund. What's everyone else in the office thinking? Right. Most of them are thinking, I want to kill my boss. Right. Someone else thinking, yeah, I want coffee. Mm. Right. Someone else is thinking. So everyone's thinking so many thoughts, but what's the devotee thinking? You can be anywhere at any time, but Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana, Raganuga Bhakti, contemplating life in Vrindavan, advanced devotional service means we'll be thinking, where is Krishna now? That's how an advanced devotee thinks, where is Krishna now? And one reason why devotees don't sleep very much, right? Like Prabhupada only slept 2 hours a day. So a reason why devotees don't sleep very much is because they want to be able to perform sadhana in each of the eight divisions of the day. So normally we go to bed at what time? 10 o'clock, right? What time we get up? 4 o'clock, on average, right? 10 to 4, whatever. So Krishna, 10:48 at night, that's when he begins the Rasa Lila, and that goes to 3:36 in the morning. Right? So that's it. But most of the time we're asleep during the whole thing. But advanced devotees, right, they won't sleep as much because they want to be awake during every part of the day. So they can do some sadhana to remember Krishna's pastimes in each part of the day. That's why they reduce their sleeping and their material activities. That's what we're meant to be doing. So it's advanced devotional service, bhajan. You know, we're about, tomorrow night, we're about to go into the most advanced topic in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. After 12 years of study, now we're in the Rasa Leela. So, you know, we have to understand these things from an advanced perspective. Or in other words, we have to develop a desire to cultivate advanced devotional service. We can't miss this opportunity, otherwise, you know, when are we going to become advanced devotees? Best to do it now. Not that we think we're advanced devotees, but we have to learn and understand what advanced devotional service is. It means Ashtakaliya Leela Smarana. It means you have to begin to contemplate Krishna's pastimes, right? According to the time frames of the day. What's Krishna doing now? What time is it now? 8:30. So what's he doing now? Gets back, 6 o'clock, brings the cows back, right? From 6 o'clock to 8:30, brings the cows back, milks them again, comes back, has another bath, goes and has prasad. Right. What sort of prasad do they have in Nandagram in the evening? Big tully. Right. We can't even imagine. Yeah. Heads up if you'd like to take prasad. Right. So you're better off going back to the spiritual world. Prasad up there is like it's another level of what takes place. I mean, it's good down here. We had nice Gopinim festival at the farm yesterday. Yeah. I heard that you had to wait for 1 hour in line to get prasad. Is that true? Was it 1 hour or something? Something I said, I saw on the internet, I said I had to wait 40 minutes just to get prasad. So next year, come to the farm. You have to wait 2 minutes. All there, just there, and we just sit right out. It was all done. We had a very nice feast. I'm sure everyone had a very nice feast here. It was transcendentally relishable. Dharmatai and Manigriya Prabhu cooked, and my wife, and just like transcendental. Lord Chaitanya had personally tasted the prasada. Transcendentally ecstatic. But compared to what they have in the spiritual world, it's nothing. So this is the meditation. Krishna has just finished. Now 8:30, between 8:36, I think it is, and 10:48, then Nanda Maharaj holds a Mahotsav, or a festival, every night in Nandagram. So all the devotees come, and there's a big festival. And there's actors, big dramas, and dancers, professional dancers come, professional musicians come, jugglers come, magicians. Right. And Nandamara sits on a platform with Krishna and Balaram and his family, and they watch this whole performance, all done for the pleasure of Krishna Chandra Bhagwan. Krishna's in ecstasy watching this every night. It's like that. So when it gets to about 10 o'clock, what does he do? He starts yawning and he says, I'm very tired. Yeah. He looks at Mother Yashoda, I'm very tired. Like that. He says, oh, okay. Take rest. they take him, they go. She puts him in bed. She reads him a story. She tells him pastimes from the Ramayana. Sometimes while he's listening to the pastimes of the Ramayana, he gets so absorbed, he jumps up in the middle of the whole thing on his bed. He says, Lakshman, bring my bow. Because he goes in the mood of Lord Ramachandra. And he jumps up on the bed. And Mother says, hey, just sit down. So he lays down, right? And he's listening to the pastimes, and he's laying there. And his head's on the pillow, and he just goes. And then Mother shows, she quietly walks out, closes the door. And as soon as she goes out, he just goes. Opens his eyes. And from under the bed, a couple of his friends jump out. Subal, a few of the others. Right, then they get pillows, they make a pillow and they put the sheets over, so it looks like Krishna's still in bed. So Mother Yashoda opens the door, it looked like. and then they jump out the window. 10:48, and then into the forest, right, to go and meet the gopis. That's what we'll hear about tomorrow night. So it runs into the forest, right, and then gets into the forest, and then comes to the Sanket, means meeting place. They organize, they give some description where they'll meet that night. So they go into the forest and they meet there. During the day, you know, notes are passed. And then sometimes there's Morse code, like, you know, with mirrors they make signs like that to make, you know, they send messages in so many ways. Or Krishna will put his hand out on the ground. He'd be sitting taking prasadi, put his hand on the ground. And one of Radharani's servants will come and she'll touch one of his fingers with her toro. And which finger she touches means where they'll meet tonight. There's all these different signs are going on. It's very mystical. Does it sound like a good place? But still we want to stay here in the material world with our iPad. In the spiritual world, it's so intricate, all of the pastimes and the interactions between the devotees and Krishna. So then Krishna, sometimes he gets there to the rendezvous point, and he comes and he looks around, and who is he looking for? Srimati Radharani. And then he sees everyone's there except Radharani. And then he said, where is she? And they said, she couldn't make it tonight. Jatila, her mother-in-law, kept her inside, she can't make it. And Krishna is just devastated. And he begins to cry. And then all the gopis see how upset Krishna is, and they bring Radharani out from behind a tree. She's here. And then the pastimes begin. Rasa Leela, which goes for, we'll begin to read tomorrow night. The Rasa Leela, Krishna stretches the night into one night of Brahma, which means 300 million years. Because he wants to be with the gopis for 300 million years. And when it's finished, the gopis think, oh, that only took a few moments. So these are the pastimes. So when we become advanced in devotional service, we'll meditate on Krishna's pastimes throughout the day. So now we look at our watch and we see the evening pastimes in Nanda Maharaja's palace are just beginning. The festival is just beginning now. So you'll be chanting your japa. After class, you can go and chant and you can meditate and then you can begin to contemplate these things, these pastimes. That's all we should be doing. But most of the time, we're just thinking material things. So, any points? Different works by the Goswamis. Yeah. Govinda Lilamrita, Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita. Okay. Any other points? No, that's a different place. That's called Sancharipur. Different place. You have to look it up. I'm not going to go through the whole thing now and say it all, but you can look it up. If you look online, it will be online. Everything's online now. Just do a Google. Just look up Ashtakali Alila. It'll go. Everything's there. Everything's there now. You can find it all. So. Okay. Because he sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yayata mam prapajante tamstatayva bhajamyaham. As you desire, I will reward you accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, o Sanaprita. So it depends on us. So if we desire to see Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to us. It depends on our desire in bhakti. So the cowherd men, they had this desire in their heart. When you become a pure devotee, then Krishna will fulfill all of your desires. So they desired to see Vaikuntha, so now Krishna is about to show them Vaikuntha. Just so they can understand that Vrindavan is the best.
Why does he have to do things that Lorda and Lord knows and get everything on Krishna to decide, but he just infuse your love for him?
Yeah, but sometimes desires come up in the devotee's heart, so. Lord Krishna thought, certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. So in terms of the Brijbasis, it's not the Brijbasis, he's not speaking this verse as a commentary on the consciousness of the Brijbasis, because the Brijbasis aren't thinking like this. But he's just giving a general commentary. Most people are like that. They have so many different desires. The Brijbasis don't have their desire to go anywhere except to be with Krishna. But because they have a spiritual desire to see the Vaikuntha planets, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. But he's just saying in general, people have so many different desires. In one sense, they know that he is God. In one sense, the Brijbasis. Because they experience him all the time. They've seen now, by this time, he's performed so many extraordinary activities. Right? Not long ago, he lifted a hill for 7 days and seven nights. Destroyed the pride of Indra. So they know he's God. But it comes up, it goes down, it comes up, it goes down, the consciousness. But now it's come up again, because now he's just put down the hill. They all had a talk, right, after the pastime, the chapter, two chapters back, chapter 26. What was chapter 26 called?
Wonderful Krishna.
Wonderful Krishna, yeah. So what was that chapter about? Yeah, they just asked. Yeah. Is he actually God? That was their consciousness in that chapter. Right. So they were saying to Nandamaras, is he actually God? Right. They're just talking about him. He did this and he did that and he did this. Is he actually God? Right? Nandamaras said, no, come on. He is not God. Right. Can't control his tongue. Right. Speaks lies regularly. Always stealing. You know, we hear that he even passes water in their houses. Right? If he doesn't get what he wants, he says, I'm going to burn down your house. You know, this is not God. Right? But then, okay, they've all forgotten it again. And then next minute, he just goes and he brings Nanda Maharaj back. Nanda Maharaj said, I just went to the planet of Varuna. So I think, well, he must be God then. So it just sits constantly. So deep down they know, okay, this is God. But the mood is so intense, the mood of love, that they just become overwhelmed. So in other words, Madhurya covers Aishwarya. And that only happens in Vrindavan. Right. Any other place, it doesn't happen. But in Vrindavan, totally covered the Aishwarya. Right. So they're just so absorbed in the Madhurya, they can't see him any other way. Mm. Even the gopis, I've told the pastime before, place called Varahagat, just down behind our Krishna Balaram temple. When you go to the Paragraha Mart, you turn the corner. You know that place? That's called Varahagat, where the Jamuna used to run. So one time, Krishna's always saying to the gopis, I am God. And they say, yeah, of course you're God. You tell us all the time you're God. So why don't you show us? Well, Krishna says, okay. And then turns himself into Varahade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he picks up a pot. Like a butter pot, puts on his, like the earth. Right? And then he turns back into Krishna. He said, see, I showed you. I said, anyway, you show us so many things. You know, this doesn't mean that you're God. don't get carried away by yourself. Don't think you are. So their mood cannot change, even though they see it with their own eyes. But their mood cannot change. Yeah, you do so many things, but you know, we know who you are. So that means their love is so, they're so attached to Krishna as their lover, they cannot allow even his Aishwarya, when they see with their own eyes, to break it. Mother Yashoda looks into his mouth, and even though she sees the universe, we can't even imagine what that must have been like. You know, look into Brinda's mouth and suddenly he's like, you know, South Melbourne. You can't even imagine what that would do to your consciousness. But her love for him is so strong, just and she looked back again and then it was all normal again. Because her love is so strong, it just overwhelms like that. So this is the mood of the Brijvasis, even though the Aishwarya is in front of them, but they cannot break their mood. So it's a very exalted love. We have to somehow pray to Lord Chaitanya that we can taste a drop of that, right, and understand it. That's what I was praying yesterday. Helplessly. I was saying, Lord Chaitanya, I don't know how to get to you anymore. I've been doing this, today's my birthday, I joined the movement today, right, many, many years ago. And after all these years, I still can't get to Lord Chaitanya, I can't get to Krishna. And I was praying yesterday, I was saying, help me, I don't even know how to get to you anymore. I'm trying to understand this and I can't understand it. I can't enter the mood of the Brijvasis, but I want to. I don't even know how to. So we have to pray like that, that we'll get something of what the Brijvasis have, where their love is overwhelming the Aishwarya. I don't know how to do it, but somehow, you know, we have to try. But at least the one thing we have to learn from the Bhagavatam is that you have to serve Krishna without material desire. So at least I'm trying for that. If I can try, I haven't learned how to do that yet, but if I can try one day to serve Krishna without any material desire, just completely, then maybe somehow we'll become overwhelmed. So we have to learn that. If you want to understand the higher things, you have to get the foundational principles in place, which means we have to learn the mood of pure devotion to Krishna, and then all the higher things will come. And actually, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says that. He says that if you serve Lord Chaitanya in the mood of dasya, and you dive deep into that mood of spreading the Sankirtan movement, then he said you will come up on the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So that's actually the secret. By serving Lord Chaitanya and spreading this Hare Krishna movement, then... And Prabhupada said that actually. He said that if you just give one life to serving Lord Chaitanya, then whatever you're lacking, Lord Chaitanya will cover that and he'll take you back to the spiritual world. So we have to learn to that mood of complete surrender to Krishna. Any points?
Shouldn't it depend on the your head and mind in the other hand?
What's that?
Did you have it?
The parade of Radharani?
Yes, we pray to your head and mind in the other hand.
Yeah, you should pray to Yogamaya, you should pray to Radharani. Yeah, pray to everyone.
Yeah.
Pray to each other.
Yeah.
Thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. So, he shows them
Vaikuntha.
But as we've discussed, the reason he shows them Vaikuntha is because he wants to show them the superiority of where they actually are, which is Vrindavan. So that's why he's showing them. He shows them Brahman and he shows them Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is incredibly opulent. But compared to Goloka, Goloka is opulent, but it is sweet simultaneously. Right. If you study the Brahma Samhita, it says the leaves of the trees are made of jewels. So we can't even imagine the opulence of what it must be like. Leaves are very soft. Jewels are hard. Even though the leaves are made of jewels, they're still soft. So can you even imagine what this place must be like? We can't even imagine the opulence of Vrindavan. How divinely opulent. Because it says that the earth is made of touchstone. So it's made of brilliant jewels. And it says on the bank of Radhakund, it says there are mosaic patterns made of jewels, of the most opulent jewels and the most intricate patterns. We can't even imagine the intricacy and the beauty, but it surpasses the beauty of Vaikuntha. So everything in Vrindavan is far superior. It says that on the bank of Radhakund, there is the there are the groves of the Ashtasakis. And it says Lalita's grove, she's the main assistant of Radharani. It says her grove is shaped like a 1,000-petal lotus flower. So we can't even imagine what this must be like, what these places must be like, and what the beauty and the intricacy of these places must be like. But this is the Goloka Vrindavan is more beautiful and more extraordinary and more wonderful even than Vaikuntha. So it shows in Vaikuntha, just so they'll understand Vrindavan is the best. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence which is unlimited, conscious and eternal. Sages that see the spiritual existence in trance, when their consciousness is free of the modes of material nature. So we'll read the purport. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
In text 14, Lord Krishna revealed to the residents of Vrindavan his own abode, the spiritual planet of Krishna Loka. This and innumerable other Vaikuntha planets float in an infinite ocean of spiritual light called the Brahma Jyoti. That spiritual light is in fact the spiritual sky which Krishna also quite naturally revealed to the residents of Vrindavan. For example, if we want to show the moon to a child, we say, look up in the sky. See the moon over there in the sky. Similarly, Lord Krishna revealed the vast spiritual sky to the residents of Vrindavan. But as emphasized in text 14 and in the following text 16, the actual destination of Lord's associates was his own spiritual planet.
So any points there?
So this showed to the residents
Yeah, because in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that the pleasure that you can get from going to the Brahma Jyoti is not even equal to a fragment of a drop of the ocean of the Nectar of Devotion. So all the pleasure you can get from going to Brahma Jyoti, it doesn't compare to anything compared to the pleasure of devotional service to Krishna, which is found in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, the pleasure which the devotees derive is unlimitedly superior. Right? And there's a famous prayer which is given in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, by Hanuman. So when the battle is over and everyone goes back to Ayodhya after the battle and Hanuman is there, and then Lord Chaitanya is awarding Sugriva and Hanuman and Neil and all of the warriors, and then he says to Hanuman, he says, what do you want? What benediction can I give you? And he said, can I give you liberation? Which is the highest benediction. Hands up if you would like liberation. I would like it. I'd love to be out of this world. So imagine if the Lord himself was there and he said, do you want liberation? And Hanuman said, if liberation means I lose the opportunity to serve you, to me that is worse than hell. So for a devotee, even going to the Brahma Jyoti, merging into the Brahman, for a devotee that's worse than hell, because it means you cannot serve Krishna. So he shows the Brahma Jyoti, but the devotees have no attraction. He shows Vaikuntha and devotees don't have attraction. Devotees are only attached to Vrindavan. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahma Rada, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akrura saw the spiritual world, the cowherd men saw the planet of the Absolute Truth. So it's described here that he took the cowherd men to the Jamuna, the same place where Akrura went in, and when he was inside, he saw the spiritual sky. So he took them there, and he took them into the water. That place is, you know where that place is? In the Vrindavan Parakram? You know, we go around the back. You know where it is? Yeah. When we go around the back. Akrura gate, yeah. Yeah, when you go around the back, you're coming up the back side of Vrindavan, the quieter side, and then there's a sharp right back to Vrindavan. Or you can keep going to Mathura. Then just at that place, Akrura gate, that's where the Jamuna used to flow. That place, that's where this takes place. So he
renovated recently the bridge and the temple there.
At Akrura?
I think so.
Okay. I know back further there's a there's a bridge and there's a little temple.
Yeah, the Krishna Balram temple,
Nayada
Kura, very beautiful.
Over there? At Akrura, is it? Okay. I'll have to have a look. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Maybe there's. Might be a little bit off the parakram, though. Okay. So, the interesting point is that Sukadeva Goswami here, he mentions Akrura took bath in that place, but that pastime hasn't taken place yet. So how is that possible that he can mention that? How can he mention it if it hasn't taken place yet? Because he's speaking the Bhagavatam to Pariksha Maharaj, but this is a long time after Krishna passed away, left this world. So he's not, things aren't in order. But now it's afterwards. They're saying, same place Akrura, even though he hasn't told the pastime yet, but he said, this is the place where Akrura is. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. So the basic principle is that Madhurya is superior to Aishwarya. That's the basic principle. Right? And this is the lesson which is given to us just before the Rasa Leela. Because now, tomorrow night, we'll begin, by Krishna's mercy, the Rasa Leela, which means the highest, highest pastimes of the Lord. And before we begin the Rasa Leela, right, it's explained that Krishna's Aishwarya is completely covered by Madhurya. Because that's what the Rasa Leela, that's why it's the highest pastime. Because God himself, and actually in that pastime of Rasa Leela, Krishna shows the greatest Aishwarya. We'll hear as we discuss it over the next few weeks, because there's five chapters. So actually he shows the greatest Aishwarya out of any pastime. That's why it's considered the highest pastime. And even though that's the greatest Aishwarya, the gopis are just completely absorbed in Madhurya. Even though it's God himself, and God is showing the most unlimited opulence, but they don't see it. They just see, this is Krishna, he is our lover, and that's all that they're absorbed in. So it's the topmost pastime. So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki.